Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we think about Jesus and all of his many characteristics, really ideal characteristics, maybe one thing, as we think about his actions and words here, his commitment and dedication, we can think about the fact that he would have been really a very amazing CEO, the chief executive officer of a corporation. Jesus could handle the pressing needs of the moment, but he could also keep the long-range perspective in mind, which is essential for someone who is leading a company, a corporation. Jesus had the balance to be able to stay on course. But of course, Jesus was not a CEO. He was a Savior, the Savior of the entire world. And that made his ability to handle important and pressing situations and to be able to keep that balance so critical. Jesus could deal with those immediate, urgent concerns of the people around him, his people, and yet still not be deflected or distracted from his goal of bringing them eternal salvation. And for us, the good news is that Jesus did remain on course, and also that he allows us to go with him. Most of us, certainly the adults in the room especially, understand the press of immediate, urgent concerns. Think about if you have a cut that's bleeding. You don't stop to eat lunch first before you stop the flow of blood and bandage that wound that you have. No, that immediate, that urgent concern demands immediate attention. We're all familiar with that press of the immediate, of the urgent in our lives. We live with it all the time. So did Jesus. In this gospel reading for today from Mark chapter 1, we see that how busy Jesus was with a full day of ministering to the needs of people. He didn't have time, or much time at all, really, to rest and relax after that big day of teaching in the synagogue and of driving out demons. When he finally got back to Simon and Andrew's home, immediately he was told about the needs of Simon's mother-in-law, who was ill. And then after he had cured her of her illness, he still wasn't finished with his work for the day. We saw in our reading that evening, Peter and Andrew's house became a practical clinic as one after another, people, eventually the whole town, our reading says, came bringing the sick and the demon-possessed to Jesus to be healed of those pressing needs that they had. And so we see that press of the immediate and the urgent needs confronted Jesus. Yes, Jesus, like us, knew the pressure of those immediate needs. The concerns that Jesus faced may not have been the same necessarily as the concerns, as the urgent things that face us in our daily lives. Jesus didn't have problems with bills and paying taxes and worrying about health care coverage and other insurance, worrying about car and house payments or rent. Jesus didn't need a calendar or a schedule to keep track of all his appointments and the events that he was committed to. But the immediate needs of Jesus' day were just as urgent for him as ours are for us. After all, Jesus knew that he only had a few short years to accomplish all of the ministry that he needed to accomplish while he was still on earth. Because he knew that 3 years later he would go to the cross and die, and then rise from the dead, and shortly thereafter ascend into heaven and be visibly removed from this earth. And so during this time, he had to show the people who he was. And he had to accomplish the act of redemption in such a short time. And so for Jesus, the press of the immediate was very real. Immediate needs must receive attention. We see Jesus affirming this with his unhesitating commitment to caring for the sick. Whether it was Peter's mother-in-law, of course, someone who was closely connected to him, the mother-in-law of one of his closest disciples, or whether it was the crowd of people who gathered around the door of that house, probably many of whom he had never met before, whose names, humanly, he would not have known. The danger, however, is that the immediate, the urgent, can become so all-consuming that you lose your perspective and you lose your course, the main purpose of your life. Think about a football team on this day of the big game. The team starts with a game plan. They maybe have a general idea of what plays they want to run on offense or defense, but if their opponent scores two touchdowns and a field goal right away in the first quarter, well, then probably their original game plan has to change somewhat. Left behind as they adjust to the immediate pressing reality of the state of the game as it faces them. It's that way in a business, too. A CEO needs to be concerned and to some degree be involved in the daily operations of his company. But if he becomes too caught up in all of the details, he'll lose his ability to plan, manage, to set policy, and to set the course, the overall course, for that company. Spiritually, the loss of perspective can happen to a church body, to a congregation, or to an individual Christian. If a church body gets too engrossed in internal strife or problems, can lose sight of the mission that God has given to it to go and make disciples of all nations. If a local congregation is concerned only about its own building and its own current members, then it can become self-focused, self-entrenched, and it can fail to serve the broader community around it. And so its purpose, its mission that Jesus has given to it, goes largely, or at least in part, unfulfilled. If an individual Christian gets so wrapped up in his or her personal problems, his health problems, chronic pain, fears, then there's a real danger of losing all perspective on what life is all about and the mission that Jesus has called each of us to individually. Think about everything that faced Jesus at that time. He could easily have lost his perspective. The situation, the needs of all of those people pressing for his attention were so urgent that Jesus could have been consumed easily by the need to heal the sick and to drive out demons from those who were possessed. He could easily have spent all his time doing that and not spent any time preaching. He could have failed to complete his mission as Savior. But he didn't. He used two simple but powerful corrections to keep himself on course. They were prayer and meditation on God's Word, those means of communicating with his Heavenly Father. And so we read that long before it was dawn, on the next day after his busy day of ministry, teaching, and healing, Jesus got up before dawn while it was still dark, and he went off to a solitary place to pray, to meditate on his Father's will. In that quiet and solitude, Jesus was spiritually renewed, and so he was able to maintain the course of his mission. While the sunrise was still barely lighting up the eastern sky, Jesus' prayers had already ascended to the throne of his Heavenly Father. And meditation on the Word of God had already warmed his heart. He was kept on the course of his mission through prayer and through meditation on God's Word. And so to his disciples, who had been dragged off of that course by their focus on those immediate, urgent problems, on the crowds of people who were coming to Jesus, to those disciples who had sought to drag Jesus off of his course by making him focus only on that gathering crowd who came to him for healing, Jesus said to them, "Let's go somewhere else, to the neighboring villages, so that I can preach there too. In fact, that is why I have come." Jesus knew that his job, his mission, was more than just healing. As important as that was, and as much as he cared about each individual person, his ultimate mission was to be the Savior of the whole world. And so that saving role required him to preach the gospel, the good news about himself as the Son of God and the Savior of the world. It meant presenting himself as the good news, not only for those who were physically sick, but also for those who were spiritually sick, for those who were alienated from God because of their sin sickness, for those who were alienated from their fellow human beings and from creation as a whole, all the after effects of sin. Jesus' mission also meant proceeding with determination toward that final goal of his death on the cross and then of his resurrection in order to make divine atonement for all sin, for the sins of the whole world. So Jesus' devotion time there in those early morning hours helped him to maintain his perspective, that focus on his mission and that goal. That quiet time of solitude, of personal communion with his Heavenly Father, that meditation on the Word of God provided him with spiritual strength to keep that goal in focus. Even the pull of his well-meaning disciples and the care that he had for all those crowds of people gathering around him could not turn him down any path away from completing that ultimate mission. Now for us, that certainly is good news. If Jesus had been so distracted by those immediate and urgent pressing concerns, he might have been the greatest healer that the world had ever seen, but he may not have been the world's Savior. However, since Jesus did keep his perspective, and since he did stay on course, we are sure that we do have a Savior. He is the one who healed and who preached and who atoned for our sins and for the sins of the whole world. His healing extends now into our time. His healing reaches into your life and into mine. He restores the health of the otherwise sick and broken relationship between us and our Heavenly Father. His preaching still rings in our ear through his word that we are able to read and hear, telling the good news that he, the eternal Son of God, came to this earth in human form, on a rescue mission for all of humanity, including us. His work of atonement by his death on the cross means that everything has been made right between us and our Heavenly Father. All of our sins have been fully paid for. All of our guilt has been completely removed from us. We've been adopted into his family by faith that he has given to us through our baptism and through the preaching of his word. Notice the words that Jesus used when he gently corrected his disciples and got them to shift the focus back on the most important aspect of his mission. Jesus said, "Let's go. Let us go." Despite the disciples' misguided attempt to veer Jesus off of his course, off the course of his mission, he didn't reject them for making that foolish mistake. Rather, he urged them to continue with him on his mission. They were to go with him throughout his time on earth, and then one day he would send them to go, and he would preach and heal through them. That's also good news for us. We are also included in Jesus' work. We are invited, yes, we are even urged by him not only to receive the benefit of his work, but also to go along with him as he still preaches the gospel about himself as the Son of God and the Savior of the world. He will do that through us. During this Epiphany season, that is one of the focuses of our worship and of our meditation on God's Word. That Jesus reveals himself to the world as the Savior of the whole world, but also that you and I are incorporated into that mission of our Lord and into the proclamation of this good news, that he is the world's Savior. Just as Jesus used the minds and the tongues of his disciples to be instruments of his healing and the proclamation of the good news that he is the Savior, so today Jesus also uses our hands and feet to bring his healing touch, to bring his care to those who are suffering every kind of illness in this world. Jesus uses our tongues, our lips, our mouths, our words to proclaim the good news that he is the Savior of the world. And when we're in danger of getting so caught up in the immediate, urgent, pressing concerns of life that we might lose sight of that ultimate goal, the goal of our eternal life with God in heaven, Jesus calls us to join him in a quiet, solitary place where through prayer and through meditation on God's word, we can have our priorities corrected. We can be put back on the proper course. Staying on course, keeping that right perspective and never losing sight of the final goal while also handling the pressing immediate situations that present themselves. All of those amazing qualities could have made Jesus an amazing CEO, but that was not his mission. He was and is our Savior. And as we now go with him, we can be assured that with his Spirit guiding us through his word, he will keep us on course too for the mission that he has given to us with the ultimate goal of eternal life in heaven for us and for others.